So Resurrection Sunday. Wonderful day to thank the Lord. I've titled this, Do You Believe? And it's taken from Luke 24, 13 through 35. If you want to look it up. There we go. And if you want to stand in respect of the reading of the word. Now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, "What is this dispute that you're having with each other as you are walking?" And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked them. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. He said to them, 'How foolish and slow you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. They came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, 'Weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us?' That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together, who said, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you help us to understand exactly what you want. And just give me the words that you want spoke. And we ask it in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So these two men were having a disagreement. Probably, my thought anyway, doesn't really go into detail, but it says that they believed he was a prophet, or at least one of them did, so... You know, maybe that was what they were arguing about. No, he is the Christ. No, he's not, you know. But they didn't appear to believe, really, that Jesus was alive, even though these women had said that he wasn't in the tomb. And the disciples, I don't know exactly what two these were. They were disciples. They weren't the 12, but they were disciples. But none of them really believed the women who went to the tomb and said the angels had told them this. In John chapter 20, starting at verse 24, says, "But Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were telling him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe.' A week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. And even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." You know, it's hard to imagine what it would have been like, you know, that this Savior, this prophet, this teacher, rabbi, you know, everything that they believed Jesus to believe, died such a horrible death on the cross, was crucified, and everything that he had said was, "In 3 days, I will rise." And when he wasn't in the tomb, you know, what would your thoughts be? You know, if you went to the tomb and found it empty, you know, would you believe, "Oh, what he said came true?" Or would you go, "What'd they do with him?" You know? And to make it even worse, I was researching a little bit and found that the priests went to the soldiers and bribed them, and, you know, gave them money to tell them that the body was taken. He didn't raise from the dead. It was stolen. So, you know, you have word like that going around, and then, you know, you find that he's not in the tomb. And I don't know, if an angel appeared to me and told me he's not here because he's risen, I'm not sure if I would think I was nuts or if it was true, you know. I have seen angels, but that would be a whole different circumstance. So, these people were not believing real well that this was indeed true, that Christ had risen. And you know, Thomas believed after he was able to put his hand, you know, in his side. And even with that, you know, I said, you know, "My Lord, my God." He recognized him then, you know, and the two men that were walking recognized him when he broke the bread, that this is indeed Christ. I'm kind of wondering, you know, did they really believe that he was the Messiah, or did they just believe the prophet was raised from the dead? You know, not real sure on that part. But, you know, he goes on to say there to Thomas, you know, "It's great that you believe because you've seen, but it's even going to be more for those who have not seen but yet believe." And that's where we're at. You know, we haven't seen him. We have his word. We have miracles, you know. I don't know if you've ever seen any actual miracles or that you know were actual miracles. I did as a child when we lived in Missouri. I was about 12 years old and went to a rather large church down there in Springfield. And at the time, they were calling them charismatic services. I'm not exactly sure what that meant other than the Spirit moved in it. But I got to see a person actually have their legs grow back on. This person came in a wheelchair. They had a blanket across the legs, you know. I don't remember if it was a man and a woman, man or woman this at this point in time. But I remember they took the blanket off, so there was no question. This person had little stubs there. You know, you sat there and there's nothing here. It just sat there. And I was close enough to be able to see when the evangelist anointed a person with oil and laid hands on them and started praying for them. I watched these legs grow out and had feet. And how miraculous God is. The person got up from the chair and ran all around the sanctuary on these brand new legs. You know, it wasn't like a newborn animal that was shaky and that. They were ready to go right then and there. I was just amazed. I couldn't hardly believe what I saw. But I believed that it was of God. Blind person was healed. Deaf were healed. You know, there was many. But that one always stuck in my mind because I actually saw these legs grow. But when it comes to a time of believing in Christ, you know, I'm sure that you, like I, have witnessed to people over the years and had them say, you know, well, I go to church, you know, once a year or when I need to, or, you know, and maybe even they go every Sunday and they're active in the church and all of that, but they really have never met Jesus. You know, you ask them a question about him going, well, he died on a cross, you know, and they say he came back to life, but I don't know that he did, you know. So there's so much disbelief in our world and among the churches even, you know. People don't believe that he's not there anymore, you know, that he hung there, yes, he died there, but he didn't stay there. And somebody asked me one time, well, my kid gave me a crucifix necklace. And I told her, I said, I'm sorry, but I won't wear that. Well, what's wrong with it? And I says, because my Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. I said, I'll wear a cross, but not with him hanging there, because I said, he's not there. But, you know, some people I've met, and that they get this desire to find out who Jesus really is. And if they don't have a Bible, they buy one. Or even maybe they have one that has been sitting around their house that was their mom and dad's or grandma's or, you know, somebody else's, and they dust it off and they start searching the Bible. They start looking for Jesus. And I think a lot of what makes it and what made it even there in the time of Christ was the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit hadn't actually came yet. That's what Pentecost is all about. But I do believe that the Holy Spirit was there to a certain degree, because I think that the Holy Spirit is how we come to Jesus. And so, you know, the people today, just like then, not everybody is going to believe. You know, in the time of Christ, the Pharisees didn't believe. You know, there was one, Nicodemus, asked, how can I be saved? And then he thought Jesus was kind of nuts when he, you know, how can I go back into my mother's womb, you know? Are you crazy? How does this happen? You have to be born again. And then Jesus explained it to him, and Nicodemus accepted Christ. But the Pharisees, as far as I know in Scripture, that's the only Pharisee that did. There were many that didn't believe even after they saw the miracles. So one of my questions is, do you believe? Do you believe he is the risen Savior? Now, if you already know him, maybe like me, you've been feeling like there's more. There's more that the Lord has. You know, I believe that he died for me. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe he's living in my heart. But lately, I've been feeling like there should be more. That I need a closer walk with my Savior than what I've ever had. Life is rough. It's getting harder and harder. I hear more and more about the drugs and the alcohol, and, you know, talked about that child last week that got thrown over the third floor of the mall, you know. People being shot up, things being stolen, you know. This world is so broke, so tore apart. We need to stand for Jesus. We need to be His light to the world. So my prayer today, for me and for you, if you want to do it, is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me to stand for you. Help me to be the light in this dark world that will lead others to Christ. For He has risen. He is indeed risen and alive. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. For your salvation, Lord, that you took all the sins of the world on your body and you died for each and every one of us. And we ask, Lord, that you draw us closer to you. If anyone hasn't accepted you, Lord, we pray that they will open their heart to you. And for all of us that have accepted you, Lord, we ask that you draw us closer to help us to be that guiding light that will show up in the darkness of this world, that will lead others to you. We just thank you and we praise you, Lord, for all that you do, what you have done, and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to take your hymnals to page 368.